Now we know what a pandemic and sheltering in place does to consumer activity. It stops about 9% of spending in America. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. There is news that retail sales fell dramatically in March, slightly more than the pessimistic forecasts of economists. It fell by 8.7%. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this statistic is down dramatically and worse than expected. How do you read it?
So I think what we're seeing here is this shock to the consumer and consumer patterns on their spending habits. Unfortunately, it's negative in a big way, but this is also a credit to our economists who came up with an estimate of down 8%, so pretty close in these unprecedented times.
And a lot of this is volatile cars and trucks. I mean, people just didn't go in to buy a new car last month, given everything is going on. But if you take that out, what do you get?
Well, it is interesting because if you get rid of autos, gas, you're only down about 4.5%. So a lot of this was the auto sales, which are a big dollar number. And then if we go to the control group, which takes out food service, gas, autos, and building materials, you're actually up over 1%. And that's a positive. That really reflects all the money people are spending in grocery stores because now they're staying home.
And of course, we'll be tracking this very closely as the data for this present month that we're living in, April, comes in.
That's right. And I think April is going to be also a conundrum for the economists to try and get a solid estimate on. But it won't be as sharp as the adjustment that we had in March, I believe.
Susan Schmidt, she's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, retail sales figures have been calculated this way going back to just 1992, so it's harder to make comparisons with drop-offs in spending during, say, the Great Depression. In early trading, the Dow is down 509 points, 2.2%. The S&P 500 down 2.4%. The NASDAQ down 2.2%. How to gradually lift stay-at-home orders and phase in economic activity. In the East, governors from Delaware to Massachusetts are coordinating. In the West, it's California through Washington. And the outlines of a plan are being sketched out. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
California Governor Gavin Newsom acknowledged that the shutdowns will have to end at some point.
This can't be a permanent state. And I want you to know it's not. It will not be a permanent state.
He and leaders from other states will be watching several key indicators to determine when and how much life can begin to go back to normal.
What we really want to avoid is that resurgence of disease, which could very easily happen if we don't keep shelter in place going.
Erin Mordecai is a biology professor at Stanford. She says to reopen, we'll need to be able to test and trace those infected with the virus so hospitals aren't overwhelmed and to respond when conditions change. What businesses might start to come back? Construction and manufacturing would probably be among the first, says Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics.
They're in many cases tied up with national security and just keeping the supply chain open.
But reopening businesses where people socialize might depend on whether they can create safe spaces. That's if people feel comfortable enough to go out at all. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Many U.S. airlines have struck a deal with the federal government for billions of dollars to help meet payrolls and to keep people on the payrolls, at least until October. Marketplace's Nova Safa is on the line. What is the scale of this and where's the money going?
It's worth about $25 billion, and it's going to 10 major airlines, which have already signed on. Others are expected to join as well. So United, Delta, American, Southwest are on board. Spirit Airlines says it's still in negotiations. And the money is coming from the $2 trillion CARES Act that Congress passed last month.
And there are conditions, strings attached.
Yes, indeed. So 30% of the money is going to have to be paid back. Now, the Treasury Department will also get stock warrants from the airlines. We asked industry consultant Richard Abulafia of the Teal Group to walk us through that part of the deal.
The idea with a stock warrant is that you can convert it to shares at a certain price, and then, of course, immediately sell those shares at the new higher price once the air travel market recovers, which hopefully will be happening in a year or two.
Yeah, so the government could stand to recoup some of the money it's spending now.
And unions are among those nervous about these strings?
Right. So unions representing flight attendants and pilots both said that while they're grateful for the aid, they're concerned about the loans the airlines are taking on. They say forcing airlines to take on the debt could actually make it harder for them to avoid layoffs later. So they're concerned about the future prospects of this deal.
Nova, thank you. More than 2,000 airplanes are now locked up and quiet. One of the runways at the huge Atlanta airport's been turned into a big airplane parking lot. Do we pay enough to workers at the front lines of this pandemic? Grocery clerks, delivery people, healthcare workers. Many of those who have to put themselves out there are questioning their pay and benefits, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
The COVID-19 pandemic has amplified the concerns of grocery store stockers and cashiers, package and restaurant delivery folks, and food service workers like Terrence Wise, who works at a McDonald's in Kansas City, Missouri. Even though he's suddenly an essential worker, his benefits?
Well, you know, I have no benefits, you know, no health care, no paid sick days, no dental.
Not to mention benefits like life insurance or retirement contributions. Maureen Conway is with the Economic Opportunities Program at the Aspen Institute. She says the pandemic has changed the political discourse around benefits for low-wage workers.
But I'm not seeing companies sort of step up and say we're changing our policies in terms of our health insurance plans and coverage as much as I'm seeing some action on the hazard pay and paid sick.
Measures Amazon, Walmart, and certain grocery stores are doing on a temporary basis. But Keith Hollingsworth, who teaches business administration at Morehouse, is skeptical it will last.
When we come out of this, think how many people are going to be desperate for work and will take almost anything to help pay for the bills.
So businesses may have little incentive to change benefit policies in the long term. But Conway at the Aspen Institute says public perception has changed, at least for the time being.
We are now newly recognizing grocery store workers and delivery drivers as valued workers. How do we really truly value that work going forward?
And will that translate into new benefits for these workers once the crisis has passed? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And President Trump has asked that his signature get added to the paper versions of the $1,200 checks going out to tide people over coronavirus disruptions. The Washington Post reports this could delay some checks by a few days, but the U.S. Treasury denies that. The Donald J. Trump signature will appear in the memo section because he's not legally authorized to be the disburser. Most people will get the credit as a direct deposit into bank accounts, and 80 million of those people should have their money by today. But if the government doesn't have your bank info, some paper checks reportedly might not make it until late summer. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.